Hi, this is Andy Zogan with KickServeRadio.com. Before we get to our entertaining interview with Coco Vandeweghe, it must be pointed out that since this taping, Ray Moore has indeed stepped down as CEO of the BNP Paribas Open Plate at Indian Wells. A mutual decision with he and Larry Ellison precipitated that decision. And with that said, please enjoy today's interview with the one and only Coco Vandeweghe.
Welcome, everybody, to another exciting edition of KickServeRadio.com, Tennis on Air with Andy Zoden. Very excited to be with up-and-coming WTA American superstar Coco Vandeweghe, who comes off of a terrific 2015 and a great win at the BNP Paribas Open, teaming with Bethany Mattek-Sands for the very first time to capture the title, making it the second year in a row that two players have teamed up for the first time at Indian Wells and come away with the title. Coco, if you guys can mirror what Sonia Mirza and Martina Hingis did after winning at Indian Wells last year, it'd be a pretty good year for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, what was their streak at? 42, 43, something crazy like that. I mean, that's pretty much almost a full year of not losing a match, which in any singles, doubles, any sport, I mean, that's like Lakers status right there.
or Golden State Warriors or something, but it's crazy. You're right.
Yeah.
And explain to some of the junior players that might be listening the importance of what can be derived confidence-wise from the doubles. If you had left town after the Jelena Jankovic match, which I'm sorry to even mention that. I know it was a tough one for you. And of course, Bethany had a tough go of it in the singles as well. Yet you got to feel pretty good about yourself leaving Indian Wells with that doubles title in your pocket and much more confident than you would have been had just the singles been your only result.
Right. I mean, funny enough, Craig and I joke about this all the time. My coach, when I first started working with Craig at the French Open last year, I really didn't play much doubles. I kind of just signed up with whoever at the Grand Slams. And, you know, if I won a match, I won a match. If I didn't, you know, who cares? It was just, you know, it didn't really matter to me. But when Craig came on board, he's like, listen, you've got to play more doubles. And I just looked at him like he was crazy because singles is my main priority. I'm like, well, why would I want to play doubles? Wouldn't that take away from my singles? But like you said, it's a way to get more practice, work on things that you don't have the opportunity to do in match play situation. And it's getting more time out there in a match play atmosphere. And plus for me, it beats practicing. I'd rather play a match instead of practice any day of the week.
Well, that's what John McEnroe used to talk about, was the fact that he played so much doubles so that he could avoid practicing. It worked out pretty well for him. Coco, you talk about what you're learning from the doubles. I agree with Craig, and of course, he and I go way back, him being my very first doubles partner at age 11. So I know of what you speak there with doubles rounding out your skill set. But talk about what you learned just from the season in general in 2015. A three-setter with Maria Sharapova at Wimbledon was the highlight run of the year for you, but you really broke through and showed some people what you might be capable of for the years to come.
Yeah, thank you. It was really a great tournament. It was the best result I ever had in a Grand Slam, making the quarterfinals at Wimbledon. But not only that, it was the caliber of players that I had to beat along the way. I beat two top 15 players in Pliskova and Safarova, who was defending quarterfinalists, and also Sam Sozer. So all three of those players are great champions in themselves. But I think what Craig's brought to the table for me as a settling aspect in my game, because he kind of came in when basically a hurricane storm was happening in my tennis career, because I had just stopped working with my previous coach literally like 2 days before he came on board. So he was kind of putting out storms in my life a little bit, and was a settling factor for me, where first time we saw each other in Paris, he sat me down quietly in a room and he said, listen, Coco, I'm going to be out there playing every single point with you. Just know that I've got your back. And for whatever reason, that was the magic words I needed to hear. And the rest of the 2015 season went really well. I was really happy with the results and the players that I was beating.
because of the fact that you're working with Craig, Coco, and you make mention of it all the time, which I think is great, with obviously Craig being such a dear friend, but does the fact that he spent so much time in the early years of his coaching career around the Martina Navratilovas and Billie Jean Kings of the world help sort of give you that much more comfort in knowing that he is really imparting some serious wisdom from two of the great champions that the sport has ever known?
Well, not only that, you also have to, as some people don't know, we spend pretty much every week of the year together. So Craig being a phenomenal person off the court, as well as on the court, and being a phenomenal coach in that aspect of, you know, handling as a coach, I'm sure it's a more hectic job than being a player sometimes, because you have to handle the player, you have to handle the family around the player, you have to handle the friends around the player or the hanger-oners or whoever it may be. And I think Craig has made my life so much easier in that aspect, from definitely his experiences with so many different players and so many champions. And not only that, he really stepped in really well and worked with the other team that I had around me, with my fitness coach and my physio. And I say team, but it really is a team aspect in an individual coach. We all work together for the same goal, and everyone's job is very important.
My guest today on kickserveradio.com is Coco Vandeweghe, coming off of a huge win at the BNP Paribas Open, teaming with Bethany Mattek-Sands to win the ladies' doubles titles. We're between the BNP and the Miami Open. And unfortunately, Coco, I have to ask you about it, because it was huge news when Ray Moore came out and made some derogatory comments. We don't have to necessarily go over those comments, but how hurtful did you find those? I know Serena made some comments as well about her perception of what was said. And was, in your opinion, Ray Moore's apology enough, or do you guys leave there with a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth about what he inadvertently said? And I'm sure if he could take it back, he would, but unfortunately that toothpaste seems to be out of the tube.
Well, I actually haven't seen the apology yet, if he's given one. I'm sure he has by now, but I personally haven't seen it. I was actually on the plane coming from the desert to Miami as it was all unfolding. So I was, you know, at my connection, just catching up on everything. But I think Serena pretty much said it best, is there's no reason for any person in any seated position or just in general to have that sort of feeling about another person, let alone a woman. I mean, it's just dumb to say, and there's no place for it in the world today. It's just unnecessary.
I couldn't agree more. And unfortunately for the women's tour, that comes on the heels of the news of the fact that Maria Sharapova fails the drug test, won't be around the sport. Really, all in all, kind of a tough couple of weeks for the women's tour. What will you guys do to regroup, to move past this? Or is this just something where you really can't lose focus? You need to keep your eye on the ball, your eye on the prize, and just worry about the next opponent in front of you?
Well, unfortunately, it does. Ray Moore's comments does overshadow the big fact that Victoria Azarenka beat Serena in a final, and
right,
you know, a great accomplishment as that is. As far as the Sharapova failed drug testing, I mean, it's pretty black and white for me. It's the sport has to be clean, and you punish those that aren't clean, no matter what the circumstances are. And you know, hopefully, the WADA, our drug testing agency, will take the steps and give what's in the guidelines to Sharapova. It shouldn't be a black eye for us as a WTA tour to have those two instances come up, because I think with every sort of negative aspect, that leaves room for positive things to happen in the sport, for new storylines to come out. And hopefully with these two big tournaments coming, with Indian Wells and Miami, hopefully the storyline will continue in a positive manner instead of the negative one, that connotation that's been coming.
One positive breakthrough story that we hope to see a lot more of is the teaming up of Coco Vandeweghe and Bethany Mattek-Sands. I think it's exciting for American women's tennis, and I've got to believe that coming off of that win, do you guys now potentially have your sights set on competing for a gold medal down in Rio?
Well, that was the whole reason why we teamed up together. It kind of manifested itself in Fed Cup in Hawaii right after Australian Open. We were playing a match there against Poland, and Bethany and I teamed up in the doubles, and we won the match pretty comfortably. And so we were seeing which tournament we could play, Indian Wells or Miami. So Indian Wells worked out for both of us. And as a fresh partnership as it was, our first tournament together and winning it, I mean, Bethany's a great girl on and off the court, and I think our personalities mesh well together. And not only that, our games complement each other very well. And for me, she's kind of the veteran out in the court that can definitely open my eyes to things that I may not see or be more comfortable in situations that I haven't been in. I mean, she's won a couple Grand Slams in doubles and in mixed, and also has been top 30 in the world in singles. So I think the partnership for American tennis and just USA in general, hopefully we get the nod from the USTA to go play in Rio, because it's kind of out of our hands if we get picked or not.
It's not up to me, but it seems like a no-brainer. You two guys look like sisters out there, and I think it's a beautiful thing to watch. You really, I'm sure I'm not the first person that has said that. Coco, I know that, you know, the main priority for you is the singles. As you mentioned, the quarterfinal appearance at Wimbledon last year, and given Maria Sharapova all she could handle, how excited are you about 2016 and trying to improve upon and build on the 2015 season? What kind of goals do you have for yourself from a singles perspective in 2016?
Well, I'm really close to making seeding at French Open, which is one of my goals, is to make seeding at the Grand Slams. And I've had a pretty good start to the year. I made quarterfinals in another premier event in Dubai, and I've won a lot of matches as of late, beat a lot of good players as well. And that's all you can ask for, is to keep progressing and moving forward, and the wins will come.
No doubt about it. It's a beautiful relationship to see you working with my good buddy since we were young guys, Craig Carden, and to now see you team up with one of my favorite players on the women's tour, Bethany Maddox-Sands. I'm going to be keeping a close eye on you. Coco, congratulations again on the BNP, and the best of luck to you throughout the rest of the 2016 season. I'm real excited for you.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's Coco Vandeweghe, one of the top players from America on the WTA Tour.